This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening, and welcome to Jaguars This Week, last two-hour show of the 2009 season, which explains why Jeff Lagerman is not here. He decided last week he'd had enough of 2 hours. He won't come back till next week.
Something needed killing.
Yeah. He's not here, folks. It's me, and it's Vic Ketchman, the senior editor. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, he didn't give you much rest time, right? You come back last week. This week, you're in for 2 hours.
That's all right. I'm ready to go.
All right. Good. Mm-hmm. Phone number this evening, 355-NFL-1. 800-355-NFL-1. If you are listening on the internet or outside of the Jacksonville calling area, obviously the big issue this week is the coaches staying.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the ticketing effort. We can talk about Lane Kiffin. Ooh, does he look bad today?
Oh, we've got a lot of topics. This is this should be a pretty feisty, juicy, whatever you want to call it, show. I mean, clearly, yesterday was a watershed day.
Right.
I mean, if anybody wants to go back through the day, you know, almost like an hour by hour thing.
It had that. I mean, it almost had that 24-hour news cycle effect to it. What's going on in Jacksonville?
Yeah, at one point during the day, I likened it to the Vatican, you know, electing a pope. It was back in Wayne Weaver's office, and I kept saying, you know, they just sent up two puffs of smoke, you know, which means they haven't reached a decision yet.
Right.
And I was waiting for the one big puff.
Said, we're doing it.
Yeah. So
one way or another,
it was a day of intrigue.
Well, you had the media here before First Light. They were looking for Jack as he walked in. That took me back to 2002 when they did the same thing with Tom.
Yep.
And you had him here after dark.
And of course, the press conference yesterday afternoon, and then the MyTeamTeal.com pep rally.
Right.
This is big stuff. You know, that's. I'm talking about something here that is usually not my interest. You know, I'm usually not a pep rally kind of guy, but this is big stuff. I don't want people. I wrote a column about it today, and I don't want people to underrate this. What's going to happen here in this off season is big. It's going to probably determine the future of professional football in Jacksonville. I don't think we have. What I'm trying to say is this is it.
Yeah, and
this is the time to prove that this town wants this team, or we got big problems.
And the crux of the issue is that they were on a Tuesday night. It was cold in the off season, asking folks to come out and find out what they could do to help the team. They're asking you to do a lion's share of the work, and there were, what, 500 people?
I said 500 in my story.
All right.
I just guessed at 500. It was a good crowd. Look, these weren't people that you were bringing in because you wanted to sell them season tickets. These were your diehards.
Right.
These were the people who love you more than anybody loves you. These are people who are Jaguars fans through and through, and they came last night to not to ask what their team could do for them, but to ask what they could do for their team.
I hear you, Mr. President.
That's right. And they were told by J.F. Baselli. You know,
J.F.
Baselli got up in front of him, and he was good. I mean,
ADB, isn't he Anthony Don Baselli, ADB?
The Italian kid from Colorado is slick.
He's passionate.
He can command and energize a crowd, and he had them in the palm of his hand, and it was a lovely scene. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, we remember this guy from when we first saw him, and he was just a big lug. Well, he ain't just a big lug anymore. I mean, he's got
a little politician in him.
He's got some some smooth edges.
Oh yeah, no, he's polished. Mm-hmm. And he's got some politician in him, but he's got passion. He truly believes everything he says.
He's legitimate.
Absolutely.
Tony is clearly legitimate. He is here because, as he said, because he wants to be here and he wants his team to be here. Yeah. And he connected with that crowd last night, and he told them what he wants them to do. He wants them to be team captains. Now, to be a team captain, you have to buy 2 season tickets and commit for 3 years. I suspect that most of those people already are team captains.
Right.
The second part of that equation is, you know, now go out and sell to your neighbors.
Right. Bring your friends.
And they will.
Right.
Brian, there's no question in my mind that those 500 people last night will probably sell something like 2,500 season tickets.
The beautiful part about it, if there's a restaurant you like in town, right? You can convince your passion for this restaurant, I don't know what it is, your passion for eating there, whether it's the food or the service or the ambiance that reminds you of Pittsburgh, whatever, can bring people to go and have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You've got these fans who love this team, like you said, more than about anything else, and their passion will bring people here.
I think this has a chance.
And they'll be rewarded for it.
I really think this has a chance. We interviewed Carl Cannon here a few weeks ago. He spoke. You know, this is the second time. Was that last week?
Last week.
This is the second time in a month that the mayor of Jacksonville, John Payton, spoke at this stadium. Now, come on, folks. That's pretty important stuff. When the mayor twice comes to your stadium to deliver messages, I think that says all you need to know about the importance of this situation. Look at the list of distinguished speakers last night. You know, Wayne Weaver, Gene Smith, Mayor John Payton, Tony Boselli, Carl Cannon. These are the leaders of this town, and they're all saying the same thing. We got to buy tickets. We have to buy tickets because we got to keep this team here. And I don't want the theme of my column today was, my editorial today was, I don't want people to think that if this doesn't work, there'll be a second Save the Jaguars campaign. And if that doesn't work, there'll be another one. And it'll always be. No, this is it. This is the one and only Save the Jaguars campaign. We got to make this work.
355-NFL-1, ladies and gentlemen. Phone lines are starting to light up. 355-6351. And that effort, by the way, you can follow and become a part of by going to myteamteal.com. That's myteamteal.com. We've reached the quarter point of the first hour of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Let's go ahead and break. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines, which are all lit up here on a Wednesday night. Jaguars This Week continues on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Here we go. More Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. Jeff Lagerman is absent this evening. He will return next week. Guess what the phone lines want to talk about?
Well, there's no question. They want to talk about the Jack Del Rio situation yesterday, and I'm prepared to talk.
No, they don't. Now look, building a fan base, saving the Jags, ticket drive, so let's go right there. We'll start with Gene, who phoned us first down in the Mandarin area. Hello, Gene. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, lifelong Browns fan, diehard Browns fan, went to many games in the old Municipal Stadium. And I find myself, after 20 years of living here, that slowly becoming a Jags fan, and I realized that the last game of the season when I was rooting for the Jags more than I was for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 3 boys that are going to be born and raised here, and they're slowly becoming Jags fans as well. And I tell you, after having the Browns lost, what that was like for us as a family, it was horrible. And I just hope that Jacksonville wakes up, that the fans wake up and realize what an asset they have here with the Jaguars. And we can't lose them because, unlike Cleveland when they got it back, I don't think Jacksonville will,
Bingo.
If we do lose them, be
Bingo.
Able to get
that's
NFL team again.
That's the one. That's the one. What you just said, if you didn't say it, I was going to say it. The big difference here is that Cleveland's franchise was stolen. This one is not going to be stolen.
Right.
Wayne Weaver won't allow that to happen. The football fans of Jacksonville are going to have every opportunity to prove the NFL right. You see, the NFL put a franchise here because it believed that this town was a hotbed of football fever, of football fandom, and
passion,
and it would just grow and grow. All right. All these years later, we now have to prove it. We have to prove the NFL was right.
You know, he mentioned Cleveland and the old stadium. Did you notice the mural that was painted on the wall, the pictures in the Cleveland press box?
Well,
I'm sorry.
I wasn't.
You weren't there. I forgot.
But I've seen him in the past.
They had an old picture.
The Lou Groses.
Oh, yeah. They had a picture of the old municipal stadium.
I remember seeing it.
And I remember walking by and looking at that old building with those great big old light towers and the press box that was up on the roof and thinking, holy cow, look at that old dump. Good. You want to come in and say hello? Come on out. The coach just dropped by.
I had said to Mike Perkins, the Jaguars video director, that for this most recent game in Cleveland, which was so cold, so windy, so the temperatures were so vicious, I said, you know, if that game was played in old Cleveland stadium,
right,
do you know where you would be shooting? You would have shot the game. And he said, where? And I said, you would have shot it from the roof.
Right.
You would have been in a plywood box.
I remember it.
Filming from the roof. I mean, that's where the broadcast booths were. They were plywood boxes. In fact, my old buddy, Myron Cope, rest his soul, complained for years and years to the Browns PR guy, Nate Wallach, that there was no toilet on the roof. So the broadcast people had to go down a flight into the press box to use that facility where there was only was a one-seater for everybody.
Right.
All right. Coach played there.
I was just about to say, you had to play there, Coach.
Yeah, yeah. I had a luxury locker when I was there.
Two nails?
I had two nails.
Yeah. I remember the locker room. It was really tiny. Anyhow, Cope bitched for years about this, and finally Nate Wallach had an outhouse put on the roof of Cleveland Stadium, which they called the world's highest outhouse. Yeah. It might have been. It might have been the world's highest outhouse. It was a porta toilet. When they tore down Cleveland Stadium, Nate Wallach sent Cope the toilet seat.
That's beautiful. No, it was a sight. I mean, before the game, now in the locker room, okay, there was a chain link fence that separated you from the entire locker room, and that's where the commode was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two. And they were out there in the open.
Chain link fence.
A chain link fence was your privacy.
Ugh.
And you're facing the locker room. I mean, it's kind of difficult to take care of business in that environment. So what then would happen is, you know, there'd be 20 guys waiting, and you'd get that stage fright, you know, and nobody could, you know, and it was just a mess.
You just can't go.
It's just a mess.
Yeah, you had to go up these steps, windy steps. That led to this tiny locker room. Anyhow, those are the old days. That stadium is gone. But the difference here is Jacksonville has a big, beautiful stadium. It doesn't have the world's highest outhouse. It doesn't have tiny locker rooms. This thing was built to be state-of-the-art from the get-go. And now, 15 years later, our backs are to the wall. We are being put to the test. And complaining about ticket prices and complaining about cup holders, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not going to get it done. We have to do it. We have to buy the tickets if we want to keep this team.
Believe it or not, you were not the topic of conversation tonight. We're talking about the ticket effort. I just thought that might make you smile.
We could make
the last couple of days.
That's good.
That's good. We're just completing. We started at 8 this morning, had a good thorough day of evaluations, going through that. And we'll start again tomorrow at 8 and finish up. We didn't finish today, but very thorough process. And, you know, we're doing our due diligence.
May I ask you a question about your running backs, Coach?
Sure.
Kenny Pola, who we all love. Great guy, great coach.
Yeah.
But he's not coming back. Is that correct?
There's a possibility.
You're working on him? He didn't sign his contract.
He did not sign his contract.
He wants to be an offensive coordinator somewhere.
He wants to be a coordinator, and he, even if he doesn't get it, I think he's hoping for a fresh start and fresh look. And I think there's a chance we could end up losing him. Yeah.
Are you working on him?
I've done all the work I can do. I mean,
how long have you known him? 30 years.
I've known him a long time. Yeah, and I think we'll see what happens. We're hoping to hang on to him, but there's a good chance that. I mean, he's resisted you know, signing the extension. Now, he's done this before, but this year is a little different. You know, I think he's really determined to try and branch out and kind of start new. And I think in some respects, I think because we're close, I think he thinks maybe that people assume that he's here because he's my friend, and he's not. He's here because he's a good coach.
Oh, he's a good coach.
He's really good with
the
group.
Good coach.
He does a great job, but I'm not sure he feels he gets, you know, his due, and I think he yearns for offensive coordinator position. And so there's a chance we could lose him, yes.
What about the rest of your staff? Do you feel like you're going to be able to keep it in place, or are you going to lose some guys?
We could lose some guys. We could lose some guys. I mean, you know, last year we had, you know, Tom Williams leave and become the head coach of Yale. We had Robert Prince leave, go up to Seattle and become positional coach when he was an assistant here. We had Joe D and Greg Williams both were at like Kennedy, didn't sign extensions of their choosing, went on to bigger, more lucrative contracts. So, I mean, you know, you make an attempt to do what you can, and then if they really want to pursue their opportunities, it's something you can do if you let your contract expire.
But, you know, we were talking about this last night, Coach. There's only one opening in the NFL. Normally in January there's 3, 4, 5, right? I mean, they filled Seattle fast. The only opening is Buffalo.
Yeah.
And obviously that dynamic is playing out because this is the last capped year.
Well, and quite frankly, I'm going to deal with, you know, with my staff. There are a lot of college jobs that people are reaching in, and because of the threat of the lockout next year, there are coaches that aren't sure about security and things like that. And so, you know, the college is trying to take shots at our coaches as well. So
yeah,
it's a tough environment.
Plus, I think there's another dynamic in here too, Jack, and that is that when these NFL pensions for coaches, front office people, when it was extinguished, when it expired in July for many teams and for all teams, remaining teams, this coming July, it put coaches in a position. A lot of these guys, when they were in college, they were in state pension fund programs. If you were at LSU, you were in the Louisiana State Pension Fund. If you were at Penn State, you were in the Pennsylvania State Pension Fund. And they left those to go to the NFL because the NFL had a better pension fund.
Right.
And now it's gone. And a lot of these guys want to go back to college.
It's more of a thought than it ever was,
yes,
or that I can remember. I mean, in my time, it's always everybody couldn't wait to get to the NFL because that was the epitome of the profession, and the benefits were better than anything else that you could get anywhere else, and maybe that has changed.
But isn't it dramatically different? I mean, now that the USC thing has passed, being a head coach in college is a completely different job, isn't it? I mean, you got to make sure kids go to class, let alone stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a completely different world.
I'm not going down. I mean, I'm not here to go down that road.
Well, no,
for sure. I like what I do. I like what I do. I think the biggest thing is we coach, you know, 20 games minimum. That's one difference.
Right.
And we don't have 20-hour rule. Heck, we keep these guys here 12 hours a day. So, I mean, we, you know, the time you have with players is a lot different.
Yeah, that's what I think I meant.
So there are a lot of different things. I mean, you still, whether you're talking to an owner, you're talking to a president, whether you're talking to minority owners or you're talking to boosters, I mean, the dynamics there are fairly similar. I think, rather than recruiting, you're out at either courting free agents or you're out there preparing for the draft. I mean, you know, acquiring talent is still key to being a good coach. You want to surround yourself with good talent.
How about the Lane Kiffin thing? Does it surprise you?
Well, I guess the timing of all of that is probably the hardest thing for everybody. The move doesn't surprise me that they would, for the ability to bring back so many of the key people that helped that thing take off in the first place. You know, if you look at the reality is they're bringing back Norm Chow, Ed Ogeron, who's a terrific recruiter, and then Lane. So you're bringing back, you know, the offensive system and all that, the people that were the key people that were there during their beginning of the heyday of the run. And then the recruiting and Ed, I think, you know, for a lot of those reasons, it makes a lot of sense.
So you finish your personnel evaluations tomorrow, then what? What's next up? When do you start to hit in the road? And
oh, it's just next. No, you know, we'll probably go through that another show. But it's into the off season.
Okay.
I mean, it's I'm not going to take part in the competition committee this year. I'm going to be here focusing on Jags. So I'm gonna make sure I spend my time with that, doing all I can for the Jaguars. And we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but you know, we really going through the evaluations today and some of the young players that we feel excited about getting our hands on this spring, and having them work on some of the finer points of becoming really good football players. We're excited about that prospect.
Before we go to a break, let me get your picks. Colts, Ravens.
I'll take the Colts.
Jets.
Chargers.
Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Cowboys, Vikings. At Minnesota.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, me too.
Saints, Cardinals.
The Saints, man. The Saints have got it. What would Breezes do?
Did you hear that? You know what they're calling him now? What? They're calling Breezes.
What? Why? Would
Drew Breezes?
You know the
Jesus.
You know the,
what would Jesus what would,
oh
do?
Yeah yeah.
What
yeah.
would Breezes do? Yeah, they're gonna don't get shocky if they breeze on down to New Orleans or something. Oh, I mean, they have the slogans. New Orleans is great for that stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
The Packers Cardinals game. Great game or a lousy game?
Well, if you're an offensive guy, it was a great game. There wasn't much defense played that
tackling
night.
Was horrible, Jack.
Wasn't very good. I was shocked to see, you know, the two games I saw Green Bay, and I know they ranked defensively very well, but the two games I happened to see were the Pittsburgh game.
503 yards passing.
And that game. Those are the two games that I saw, and I know they played good defense, and I know Dom's a darn good coach.
Great coach.
And they ranked very well in the league. So it was just shocking. The two exposures that I had to them were not good days.
Plus, they have the Defensive Player of the Year in Woodson. There were Pro Bowl guys, defensive Pro Bowl guys all over the field. Adrian Wilson.
Darnell Dockett.
That's right. You know. And Clay Matthews had the consideration for Rookie of the Year and all that. And, I mean, he played great this year. So that's life in the big city.
Right.
But some good football.
Getting home for dinner tonight, huh?
Yeah,
good
I am.
Good for you.
I am.
Well, the door's always open. Any Wednesday night you have something to say.
I just thought I'd stop by and say hello and see how you guys are doing. We're, the off season has begun, and so we sure like to still be in this thing. But we're working right now, so we can be next year. So, onward and upward.
Appreciate you, Coach.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
That's head coach Jack Del Rio. News is next on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls on. We've got 90 more minutes of the program this evening for you. Jeff Loggeman is out this week. We'll return next. So it's Vic and I and Joe and you at 355-NFL-1. Do you suppose that Jack will be dropping in through the course of the year? I mean, is that some of the things that perhaps Wayne Weaver has asked him to do is be a little bit more visible?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. I mean, he's done it from time to time.
He's done it before. He should feel good today.
Okay.
After the week of hell that he endured as a result of information that got out there that isn't going to get out there for, in most situations. Right. Let me tell you, folks, it is not abnormal for owners and head coaches to have meetings. It is not abnormal. It is not out of the ordinary for an owner to sit his head coach down and ask for explanations and to make requests and to make demands, suggestions, etc. That is not out of the ordinary.
Not at all.
The only thing that made yesterday out of the ordinary is the fact that information leaked about this meeting, and then the snowball started rolling downhill to the point that it became a Armageddon kind of a event. You know, in other words, when you stirred in the USC with it, most people expected that this meeting was going to produce a change of head coach for the Jaguars.
It built to that.
I mean, that was the expectation. Morning. So when all of a sudden we found out that there was going to be no change, a lot of people, I would say that probably the majority of people were stunned.
That he stayed.
Yeah, I think the expectation, when you stirred in USC, when you stirred in all of the stuff that was flying around on the internet.
Well, there was some stuff that was unsavory.
I mean, yes.
There were questions of relationships and management style and all kinds of things. I forget who put them out there, but you know how those things take on a life of their own. Whether they're true or not is irrelevant. the fact that they're out there means it's perception.
Yeah, so, I mean, these meetings are not out of the ordinary. It's just that this one was highly, highly publicized, and that's what made it different.
Grab a couple phone calls here, 355-NFL-1. Michael joins us from the beach this evening. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen to me before you make a comment, because I know you'll jump in there when you hear this. In order to save the Jaguars, we got to get the savior. Tebow, run a wildcat offense with Gerard, and redo the whole way we're thinking. It'll fill the stadium. It will make an exciting year, and, you know, go year by year, and that's it for us.
Okay.
But I think it would fill the stadium, and it would show a renewed interest in the Jaguars.
All righty.
Appreciate the call, Michael. 355-NFL-1. Rob joins us from Orange Park. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, gents. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I mean, with that last call, I just don't know what else to say, guys. But
we had nothing to say.
We can't go year by year. This is a long-term thing, guys. Year by year is not going to cut it. With regards, I was calling about the tickets, but let me say something since the coach walked in. I think people got a bad taste in their mouth with the way the season ended, sliding four straight at the end. But when the season started with 16 rookies and 33 new faces on the roster from 08 season, if you told me we'd finish anywhere between 7-9 and 9-7, I'd be thrilled with this year. So I'm happy about the way the season ended. Now, with regards to ticket sales, I think we all believe that Mr. Weaver is a man of his word, and he said the team's not for sale. I don't think it's an issue short term. I think it's a long term issue because the man's about to turn 75 years old, and what happens when he does decide to sell, or heaven forbid something should happen to him? We've got to prove to the next owner, whoever it might be, and to the league that it's viable here long term. And I know that Mr. Weaver has said that if he does decide to sell the team, that he would try to his best to find somebody who would keep the team here. We've got to prove to any prospective owner in the future and to the league, as I said, that we're viable here, and that's what this is all about. It's a long-term issue, guys. It's not a short-term one. With the 30-30 plan that just came out, man, as soon as I heard about that Monday, I called the ticket office. This past season was my third year with season tickets. I just renewed, and I'm going with that 30-30 plan, so I'm locked in for the next 3 years, and I can't wait. I hope everybody gets on board with this coach, with this GM, and what they're doing here. It's just the start of something new, and if we can get on board, I really think we're going to be happening. And I appreciate it. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Have a nice night.
Okay, you too. I think it has a chance, caller and Brian. Folks, I really do think what I saw last night has a chance. When you stir in the fact that Jacksonville's 60 representatives from Jacksonville's 60 largest corporations met in the hours just prior to last night's pep rally here in the team meeting room with the Jaguars brass and the Touchdown Jacksonville people.
Right.
When you add that to the equation, I think there is a real chance that this could work. And the caller said we can't just do it on a year-by-year basis. That's where the three-year commitment comes in. If they can get a commitment, a three-year commitment, that would take care of 10, 11, should there be a season in 11, or no season, take care of 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Right.
All right. That's going to buy this organization more time to focus even further down the road.
Right.
But you can't, if they have to do this all over again next year, then it's like living paycheck to paycheck. You never get ahead.
No.
They need to get that 3 year commitment from folks. That's why they've decreased prices. To say, if you give us what we want, which is a commitment that will allow us to get a breath and focus farther down the road, structure ourselves for further into the future, we'll cut you a break on the price.
Right.
There's a nice compromise there.
And not only do they cut the price,
installment
plan. They lock it in.
The installment plan is the thing. I cannot believe that they're letting people pay on season tickets over 30 installments. It's just incredible. You're talking about buying a car.
Yeah.
That's the kind of length you get on car mortgages and things of that expense.
Let's take a break. Steve and Alex are holding on. We'll come to you right after this quick commercial timeout. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on AM 690 and also 106.5 on the FM dial. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week continues here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Final two-hour show. So we'll go about eight more minutes here in this hour, take a break for news, and then wrap up the two-hour edition, not to return until August. We've got a couple of callers who held on through the break. So, in order, Steve is in Riverside. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
I think that the reason that Coach Del Rio will be staying with the Jags is I think essentially the ownership has decided that this is it for the Jags. They're gone. And they're going to just say, well, we're not going to put good money after bad by throwing a big contract down on a new coach. And they're going to cut their losses. They'll hope for the best. Figure, hey, man, if he turns it around in the next couple of years, we'll stick around and we did the right thing. And if we don't, well, then they've saved some bucks and the Jags are gone. It's a bummer, but I really feel that that's the case.
So you don't think this ticket drive is going to work? You think that the town is going to lose the team?
Well, I think whether the ticket drive works or not, I don't think it's going to work to the extent of keeping the team here.
That's why I said you think the town's going to lose the team.
I really believe that. I believe that if the next 2 years, people walk around the streets, call the shows, and say, oh, my goodness, wow, can you believe this is the Jags? The team will stay. Two years from now, if people are still doing the same that they're doing now, the team will gone.
I'm kind of lost now. I want to pin you down. I mean, you've made a bold statement. I want you to either stick with it or back off it. You sounded as though you believed the town was going to lose the team. Is that an accurate representation of what you believe?
Yes, sir, it is. I believe so. I believe the team is gone, and it breaks my heart. I wish it weren't, but I really believe it is.
Why do you think that is so?
We love football. It's a great sport. It's America. But in the end, it's about business. And if you can't make money in the future, if you can't write your books and know that in the future you're going to make a profit, then you're throwing good money after bad, and you're going to put your money.
So you're saying that the people won't buy the tickets, because if they fill this building, I've done this for 38 years, and I'm going to make you a promise. I promise you that if this stadium is sold out, and I don't mean just the general bowl seats, I mean the whole thing, I mean the club seats, the whole works, I mean sold out. I promise you, if this building is sold out and the blackouts end and the ticket woes end and all of a sudden people come to understand that Jacksonville is selling tickets, that the problems no longer exist. I promise you, if we get to that, it doesn't matter what the revenue situation is. This team will be here because the NFL will not leave a market. Al Davis will, but the NFL will not leave a market that is filling its stadium. So what you're saying
is you don't think
the fans are going to buy the tickets.
If what you say happens, and I hope that it does, then what you say will be so, and I agree with you. Unfortunately, I don't think that it's there. I don't think it's going to happen. And I believe that the league believes, and I think that the ownership believes, that it's not going to happen despite it all. I'd like it to happen. It would be great if it would have happened. If it did happen, what you say is so, the team absolutely will stay. I don't foresee that happening, unfortunately.
I'm not being critical of your opinion, because I think we have to see both sides. This team is coming off a horrible attendance year, a sobering attendance season that has us all scared. I'm going to tell you, it has me frightened. I don't want to see this team leave this town.
A shiny thing to think about. Grew up in New England. There was a time where the local sportscaster, Bob Lobel, would read the news, and he'd say, well, the Celtics did this, and the Red Sox did that, and he'd describe the game. And then he'd simply say, Patsy's lost, and that was it. And he did that for years. Didn't give the score, didn't talk about the opponent. That was it, just Patsy's lost, and you knew it. Blacked out games, and it was a joke. But now that isn't the case. Every team has its day, and I believe that if the ticket sales, which I don't think will happen, but if the ticket sales do come up, and I hope they do, then the Jags will someday have their day because it's just the way of things.
That's the only.
First of all, I want to thank you very much for your show. I'm a longtime listener, first time caller, and I'd like to give a shout out to my friends over at Florida Coastal School of Law. A lot of big football fans out there.
Okay, I appreciate your position. I think you were sincere in the way you represented yourself. I don't think you were poking fun or you were taking a jab at anybody. I think you genuinely believe that there is a dangerous situation here, and I think it bothers you. I'm fine with what you said. I will say one more time. I guarantee that if this stadium is sold out, this team will be here. I promise that.
What I didn't get off the top was his comments about how Del Rio related to that. Was he suggesting?
Well, he's just saying that why throw more good money after
because
bad?
Because they've already decided.
What he's saying is that they know that this isn't going to work, and so they've decided to just, you know, stand pat and wait for the guillotine to fall.
Well, I
don't believe that at all. But so I think he went over the top there. I think he went too far there. But his position that he believes that the town will lose the team because the fans will not fill
it. It's hard to argue with that.
We have to hear him. We have to hear people who have that fear because it is a genuine fear and it has a foundation.
The only year in my career that I've seen like this attendance wise was 1996 in Houston.
Yeah, but
and that was a team that was leaving.
You're talking about a 7 million market. I mean, you knew they were going to get a team back.
Right. Well, but just in terms of the fans in the stands,
yeah,
the numbers, where it shocked
it was a lame duck franchise.
Well, that's the thing.
This is not a lame duck franchise. We can make a difference. We can save the franchise.
355-NFL1.
Back when New Orleans was wearing the bags on their heads,
yeah,
were they
the
still going?
Huh?
Or were they having attendance problems?
No, they were having attendance problems. They have had attendance woes off and on, but you see, Joe, New Orleans has something that the NFL wants. It's a Super Bowl destination. The NFL wants a team in New Orleans because the NFL wants to play the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and there is no way that a building without a full-time tenant will be kept up to NFL standards.
Well, and they kept that franchise afloat when Katrina rolled through, and look, they're being rewarded now. They have a waiting list.
Yeah, they didn't expect this to happen. There was no expectation that New Orleans would explode with football fever in the post-Katrina era as it has.
But they needed
the
something.
The hope was that they could just keep it alive so right. They could continue to they could maintain New Orleans as a Super Bowl destination.
Sometimes you get more than you hope for.
Yeah. Well, Jacksonville is not really a Super Bowl destination, and it's not a big market. It's just a small city that was thought to have a overwhelming passion for football, and now we have got to prove that those people who believed that were right.
But as you said, that New Orleans was not thought to explode, mm-hmm, and yet they did, the opportunity exists for
things
this
happen.
Effort to, what is the term in sales? Under promise and over deliver. And with that, we'll break for news at the top of the hour. One more hour of Jaguars This Week, then we'll close the book on the 2-hour version of this program and return to 1 hour starting next Wednesday. News is next. Rolling right along. Final second hour. Does that make sense? Final second hour?
Final hour.
Final hour of our show.
The final one.
And next week,
what?
The final hour
final
of our 2-hour show.
Right.
This is the final hour.
I was just trying
hour.
To be dramatic, and then I wanted to make sure that I was dramatically correct.
Second and final hour.
Can you be dramatically correct instead of grammatically correct?
Sure.
There you go. Well, we're dramatically
didn't
correct
he kick
on the show.
For Tampa? Dramatica?
Yeah.
I love you. All right, Alex has been holding not only through the last break, but through the news. So we're going right to Alex, who is joining us from downtown. Hello, Alex.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a physician at Baptist downtown, and I wanted to tell Vic I'm glad he had a good visit there, a good stay, a successful stay first. And I had 2 points about the Jaguars. I went to the rally last night, and I've been going to the Jaguar game since they came here, basically. And I've been to that stadium when it's rocking and there's tons of people there and the energy is incredible. And last night I was sitting there at the rally and something struck me. You know, being there on a cold night, lights are down, you know, there's a good crowd there. But you look around and the stadium is just empty. And it just struck me that how sad it would be to have the stadium be like that on a permanent basis and just be sitting here on our river just empty without anybody there. And it was a really sobering moment. And I think anybody who's had a good time going to our games and who enjoys the NFL should think of, you know, should actually take the opportunity to experience that, because it really is something that, in fact, I think it would make a good visual ad campaign for my team, Teal. Like, which Jacksonville would you rather have? You know, the stadium packed and or the stadium just empty like a shell. That was one thing. My second point is I see a lot of people getting hung up on the little details about the team, you know, ticket prices. And that's not a little detail for a lot of people, but coaching decisions, player purchases, or player obtaining players. And there's been mistakes made in the past, but the big picture is, do you want to have the NFL in Jacksonville? Do you enjoy having Jacksonville as an NFL team? All these other little things, they're little blips on the radar of what would be the huge life of a franchise in a town. And I think if people enjoy having the NFL in Jacksonville, you know, forget about Jaguars, Wayne Weaver, Jack. I mean, think about, even step out further and take a macro view. If you like having NFL, you like having NFL in Jacksonville, then we need to support it. I think most people do.
Let's talk business a little bit. I want to just talk business for 1 minute.
Okay.
Something Wayne Weaver said last night. He said, we have great fans, we just don't have enough of them. Bingo. Right on the button. The people I saw last night are great fans, and there's a lot more of them.
Sure.
The 42,000 that were in attendance, or 45,000 that were in attendance on the average this year, okay, were fantastic fans. If you could double their ranks, now you're in business, all right? Now you're moving.
You got a waiting list.
Okay? Yes, exactly. As I said, the fans I saw last night were great fans. Need more of them. Now, here's the real issue. Last year, every year, the Jaguars have lost season ticket holders. They build their base, and then they lose a whole bunch of them. 17,000 season ticket holders lost between 08 and 09. A staggering figure that you just can't make up in 1 year's time.
No chance.
Now, hold on 1 second, Alex. The Jaguars believe very strongly that the season ticket base they have right now, that they are down to their diehards. They are down to the loyal people, that they are not going to leave them. They are not going to give up their tickets. They are going to renew 100% or near 100% renewals from what we had in the building this year. All right? That loss of season ticket holders and then the new ones, you know, every year, lose, gain every year. It's called churn. The Jaguars believe that they're not going to have that churn this year. They're not going to have a loss of season ticket holders. So the first thing we all should do this winter is watch for renewals. If they get that near 100% renewals of what they came out of 2009 with,
it's a good benchmark.
That's a good sign. If, however, they get that churn, if, however, they get another serious loss, another big loss of season ticket holders, that's going to be real. That's going to be a terrible foreboding.
Renewals went out when? December?
I guess. Okay. I don't know the number.
We'll know.
Go ahead, Alex.
A couple of things I did notice this past year, which I think are encouraging signs, is that I did see a lot of younger people going to the games. Some guys that were sitting next to me, first-time season ticket owner. And at the end of the season, I turned to him and I said, hey, you come back next year? And he said, oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think we're now starting to get on the cusp of those 20-something-year-old people who grew up with the Jaguars as their team. This is no longer, you know, we're getting to that era where these people are now old enough to get their own tickets. And I think they do want to come here, and they do want to go to the games, and they're starting to. You're not having the people who, when the Jaguars first came here, they had allegiances to Tampa and Miami first, and now they're trying to add on a third team or something like that. We're going to see these people who are younger that are, I believe, starting to come back in. I have noticed that, and I'm doing my part to try and tell other people about this 30-30 plan, you know, the installments. And everybody that I've talked to, likes it and thinks that it's an encouraging thing, and they actually are like, wow, that's great, and I hope it just keeps on drumming up interest. I think this town does have passion for football and for the Jaguars. They need to remember back in 1993 and prior to that, all the work that this town did to get this franchise here and the incredible passion they had back then. I don't believe that passion evaporated. I just think people are getting down on themselves, and they're letting other sports writers or people around the country do a big psych job on them.
No, wait a minute. Don't kid yourself. No, I think you're whistling past the graveyard there, Alex. We've got some hard statistical data that would suggest that there has been a decline. For example, TV ratings this year, which means TV ratings of away games. So we're not talking about the loss from the ratings of the people who are actually at the game. TV ratings this year were down 10%. Down 10%. That is a big number.
For a market whose ratings had always been near the top.
Down from 10% from 2008,
right,
which wasn't a good year. So this was a bad year in terms of attendance, and this was a bad year in terms of TV viewing.
Interest. 355-NFL-1. Alex, we appreciate your call. 355-6351. Let's grab Eugene, who joins us from the north side. Hello, Eugene.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. I got two quick suggestions. My first one is, I think they started on it last year toward the end of the year, where they try to go beyond the borders of Duval, Nassau County, and Fayette County, and get a greater fan base over in maybe Flagler County, and go as far as Orlando with it, because I remember a couple years back, the Jaguars was playing the Steelers, and unfortunately it was an accident, but it was like every other car coming to that stadium was coming from Orlando or Tampa to participate and support the Steelers, which is many states over. So I think someone needs to go out from as far as Pensacola, Florida, and all of the cities around and the surrounding area that doesn't have teams.
Eugene, let me stop you for a minute, Eugene, because you know what you're saying is well-meaning, but I don't want it to go much further, because here's the bottom line. It ain't happening from outside the five county region. I know that sounds all good, but the interest isn't there. They've tried, they've struck out, and it's not going to happen fast enough. What you're talking about is going to take years and years and years. We don't have years and years. It's got to happen now. It's got to happen right now. So let's not shove this on Orlando. Let's keep the responsibility right here. This isn't the Orlando Jaguars. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you want to keep that name Jacksonville on the Jaguars, then Jacksonville got to buy the tickets.
Over the years, I've been part of ticketing efforts from Savannah all the way down towards Vero Beach, Orlando included. They've never been able
to generate
that kind of interest. No. It's not as if they haven't tried, but they understand now that that's not their focus.
Everyone's got to get it into their heads. Savannah don't want them.
Right.
Gainesville don't want them. Tallahassee don't want
them. They fight in Orlando to get the games on TV.
This is not their team. This is Jacksonville's team.
Right.
This is your team, and it bears your name. These aren't the Florida Jaguars. These aren't the whatever. I mean, this is
it's
the
Jacksonville
Jaguars. They bear your name. It is your team, and it is your team to support.
They've invested.
If you want. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. But if you want this team here, then the hope is you will buy tickets for the games.
But don't think they didn't try. They did, and their philosophy came back to what Vic just enumerated, the five county.
Yeah, yeah. Just get that out of your head. We've been beating that drum for too long. It's a terrible excuse. It isn't going to happen.
Take a break and return with more Jaguars This Week right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. 20 after the hour of 7. We'll go till 8 o'clock this evening, and then next week it's a one-hour program. Phone calls, lighten up the lines tonight. Let's grab Bernie, who joins us from Mandarin. Bernie, you're up next. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. How are things today?
So far, so good.
All right, excellent. Well, I wanted to, again, get on the bandwagon with everybody else and talk about the Jaguars. A couple of points. First of all, want to reiterate what my fellow New Englander Steve said earlier about throwing good money after bad. you know, Wayne Weaver went ahead last year and gave Jack Del Rio the contract extension.
No, that was in 2007.
Okay, but he gave him a contract extension nevertheless, and subsequently he's on the hook for that money regardless,
right,
whether he keeps him, whether he gets rid of him. And so rather than go out and get a maybe an up-and-comer or a proven NFL veteran coach, we're kind of stuck with what we've got. And I reference you back to the Chicago Bears of Dave Wannstedt. A very similar pattern of career in terms of record and inability to get to the next level or take their team to the next level. And Wannstedt, I want to say, was there for 5 or 6 years in Chicago before they finally sent him packing. Secondly,
well, why don't? What's the point?
Well, the point is that,
I mean, I can give you a litany of coaches who didn't win Super Bowls.
But Del Rio has taken this team as far as he can. They've turned him off. They've stopped listening to what he's had to say. They're not prepared to go to that next level. He's taken them as far as he can, and it's time to bring somebody
else.
Let me
ask you a question, because, you know, you threw in Wannstedt. That's a good example. How did you feel about Coughlin?
Well, you know, I'm a newbie to Jacksonville, but having seen what Coughlin did and his methodology, if you will, when he got to New York, I mean, that didn't go over very well. You know, the disciplinarian.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Yes, he did. And he himself realized, with probably the help of ownership, that his message wasn't getting through. So he needed.
You know what I think? I think you're just talking. I don't think you have a clue.
I think the message
of ownership and all this crap. Look, here's the bottom line. In 2002, this town wanted Tom Coughlin out the door so bad. They wanted him out the door more than they want Jack Del Rio out the door. They wanted Steve Spurrier in here, baby. They wanted Spurrier. How did that message go in Washington? How is that message going in South Carolina? He can't even score against UConn.
Is Bonnie going to call me about your blood pressure getting all worked up here?
Well, you know, I mean, I hear
I
all
get
this.
It. No, I'm kidding.
You know, his message is being lost, and he's not getting through to it. Look, this town rode Tom Coughlin out of here like I have never seen a town ride a coach out. He didn't have a supporter. We couldn't go a show without the phone lines lighting up, demanding that he be fired because he ran the ball up the middle too much. So how many years later did it take for him to win a Super Bowl?
1, 2, 4.
Mm-hmm. He's won a Super Bowl.
We'll leave it at that. 355 NFL 1. You want to deal with the coach again, or you want to move
on? Sure.
All
no,
right.
I
Joe's in Middleburg.
I have no problem with this.
All right, Joe's in Middleburg.
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Good, Joe. How are you?
Oh, not bad. I think one of Jacksonville's biggest problems is Coach Del Rio. It is not the high caliber coach that Jacksonville needs, and he also. To have a good coach, you got to have great players. That's what makes a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't got, you know, like David Garrard, I'm sure he's an outstanding athlete. But to me, he is not a starting quarterback.
You know, if you tell me he's 58-57, is that his record?
Yeah.
He's 58-57. He's only won one playoff game in 7 years. You know, I can respect that. I mean, that is not the kind of success that Wayne Weaver wants, that the fans want, that Jack Del Rio wants. That's as Wayne said yesterday, that's average. Wayne doesn't want average. Jack Del Rio doesn't want average. Fans don't want average. Hold on a second. Let me get this out. So if people want to call and say his record's not good enough, he hasn't won enough playoff games, hasn't been to the playoffs enough, I'm fine with all of that. But this stuff about his team isn't listening to him, and the message, and I mean that is just all gargantua. I mean, it is just all crap. You know what the bottom line here is? Under the guidance, under the leadership of James Shaq Harris, this team turned out six horrible drafts. Not bad. Horrible. Horrible. I mean, look at what this team is still paying for in its drafting.
Byron Leftwich would be in his prime.
They could have picked Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
They could have picked Troy Polamalu.
They could have picked Terrell Suggs.
They could have picked Terrell Suggs. They could have picked Steven Jackson,
Heath
Tommy
Miller.
Harris, Heath Miller, on and on and on.
Darrell Revis.
No,
that went before.
No, that's one where they almost hit the jackpot. They had a trade worked out, and Carolina traded the pick, one pick ahead of the trade the Jaguars were going to make. I believe, to this day, that if the Jaguars could have made that trade and drafted Darrell Revis, I believe they would have made it to the Super Bowl in 2007. I believe with Revis they would have won in New England. 26 of 28 would not have happened in New England if they had had Revis. But if you look at this drafting record, there is no way around it.
Look at why they had to play with 32 new faces this year. They didn't have any talent. They didn't have any talent.
Bust on top of bust on top of bust.
The list,
you know what
long.
The mistake Jack Del Rio, I'm going to tell you what mistake Jack Del Rio made. He made a giant, giant mistake. He made the mistake of allowing himself to get too close to these personnel, to these draft picks. He allowed himself to get attached to them in a way so that he's being viewed as being responsible for them. He didn't make these picks. The guy who made these picks got fired. Mistake Jack made was he got too close to him. He should have just stayed on his side of the hall. You pick him, Shaq. You pick him. I'll coach him.
But to his credit, that's not his way. I mean, he likes to be involved.
He got involved, and he tried to, you know, be a consensus builder, as Shaq was.
Right.
All right. And he went with it and went with it and went with it until one day, he went down that hallway after the Jaguars drafted Reggie Nelson, and he let it out. I would have liked to have seen us, draft a young quarterback.
Do you suppose?
Remember that?
I do. No, you can't. That was one of those seminal moments here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you suppose Tom Coughlin won his Super Bowl when he gave up the personnel side and Ernie Accorsi picked his team?
That's right.
Now you've got Gene Smith, who clearly has a track record from this past year of producing players. Do you suppose that Jack can learn from Tom and step aside and let Gene pick his team?
I hope he's listening, but he doesn't have to listen. He knows.
Right.
Don't make that mistake again. Just let Gene do it. All right? Don't get too close to it. Don't let it be. Don't let it get shoved off on you. He gets blamed for the Byron Leftwich pick. He gets blamed for all of these picks.
Reggie Williams, Matt Jones, absolutely.
He should have just stayed on his side of the hallway and let the guy making the pick take the fall for
but
him.
But beyond the blame, the constructive side is if you've got a really good personnel guy like a Bill Polian or an Ernie Accorsi picking your team, you can just focus on coaching and succeed.
Absolutely. Oh, the perfect example is Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard. I mean, Joe Gibbs, Hall of Fame coach, was told by Bobby Bethard, you know, just go out and play golf or something. When the draft is over, I'll hand you your team.
Yeah.
It worked out really well
for him. All right, we have reached the bottom of the hour. It's time for news. We've got 30 more minutes, and the phone lines are stacked. We'll get to all of those after news here on News Talk Radio, WOKB. Depend on it. Welcome back. We've got about 24 minutes in the show, and we were talking during the break, a little production meeting here, about this show, because we're going into the one-hour version next week. We're going into the off-season. We're going into a period of time where there's not as much content. Free agency isn't open. You could talk a little bit about the championship games and the Super Bowl, not at all about the Pro Bowl. So here's the idea. Is this all we're going to talk about for the next, 2 months until after the combine and we can really start digging into the draft? 2 months was when free agency starts, although we've already pretty much established that's dead. It's not going to be a major issue for any teams this year. So are we going to subject our listeners to this every hour
of
this show?
Stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we'll finish it tonight. We'll get everybody who's on.
You see, the thing is, Brian, that MyTeamTeal.com program last night is newsworthy.
Absolutely. That's why we're doing it tonight.
There, this movement to stimulate ticket sales. God, I cannot tell you how important this is. I can't exaggerate it. I mean, there are the eyes of the important people in this franchise and in this league are watching very closely. This is it. This is going to tell the tale. This is going to determine the fate of this franchise. There is no doubt in my mind this ticket drive, the success or failure of this ticket drive is going to determine the fate of this franchise.
You're right.
I don't think you could just turn around and say, we're not going to talk about this anymore.
No, but all right, let's talk about philosophically.
Brian's point is it gets old and it gets boring.
At which point are these people turning it out? I mean, to be honest with you, when you're going back and forth with these people, I'm looking up anything, any nugget that I can use to turn the conversation. I'm a play-by-play guy. I have a short attention span.
I understand that.
I go on to the next play.
But I guarantee you, we have all the calls here.
Okay.
If I hang up on everybody here, the next batch are going to be wanting to talk about that again and again. So if you want to talk about something else,
I get it.
Find something and bring it up.
I get it. Here's my point that I want you to both comment on.
You know what the truth is? There is nothing else.
This is the issue, and
this is of paramount importance.
The name of the show is Jaguars This Week. We do it from WOKV Jaguar Central, in the heart of the Jaguars administrative offices. All right. Now, philosophically speaking, you talk about the momentum and the ticket stimulus drive, and I believe in it, and I know how important it is. Is it our responsibility on this show to promote that?
No, it's not a responsibility. It's something I want to do because my heart's in this.
I do too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've been here as long as you have, and you understand the value of this franchise personally as well as professionally and for the entire city. All I'm saying is how much of this will our listeners withstand before they say, you know, I'm going to tune Jaguars This Week back on in April when they start talking about the draft and OTAs and start getting me ready for minicamp and things like that.
That's for callers. I mean, that's for people to tell us what you know. They have to decide.
What
their interest is.
Do you remember the very first show we did here on this Wednesday night program in this format was April of 1998. So we're going on 12 years in this format. And the one rule, it was Chris Sinclair back then and Matt Robinson and you and me, and the one rule that we agreed for the show, and I don't think we've addressed it since, and maybe Joe is the executive producer, we should, was that we wouldn't over-prepare for the show. We wouldn't stack up guests and all kinds of pre-produced interviews and things like that. It would just be a conversation, and it would go where it went. And we would mix the calls in where we felt like it augmented what we wanted to talk about. Now, obviously, ticket drive is something that we do want to talk about tonight. But just wondering, philosophically speaking, at what point do we say, you know what, we don't want to get down that road tonight because it's just going to drive our other listeners away?
First of all, it's probably not a conversation we should be having on the air
now. No, I thought you said if you wanted to go in a different direction, go there.
Let me
finish.
This
is a different direction.
The direction should be, if you want to take it somewhere, you want to talk about the defensive line. You want to talk about the offensive line. Begin to have a conversation with Vic about the offensive line, and when someone calls here and says, I think ticket sales suck and everybody sucks, I'll say, you know what, these guys are talking about the offensive line right now, and you'll have to call back.
There's nothing.
You saw what I was doing,
I get it.
I was putting you on the spot.
There's nothing about the offensive line to say.
No, you're right. There's nothing
about the defensive line to say. This is the topic. We're on it, and the people want to talk about it.
And we're going there tonight.
Because they know. And this is a good night. Listen. Let's get it out.
We will.
And then let's move on.
All right. That's my thing. I'm very sensitive because of my short attention span.
Hang on a second. I know it's
interesting radio.
It's called Jaguars This Week. I get it. But why can't we talk about these four games that are going to be played this week?
Well, because we've got callers on the line, and we want to get to them, right?
Screw them.
Because they're more interested.
Did you just say that, Joe? Joe Fortunato said that, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, they want to talk about –
Tell you what, we'll go ahead. Here's the deal.
All these folks want to talk about tickets.
Here's the deal.
You guys seem like you don't want to talk about tickets.
I'm sitting in this seat, and so I'm going to tell you what the deal is tonight.
What's the deal?
We're going to go 10 more minutes on tickets.
Okay.
Take a break, and the last 7 minutes we'll talk about the playoffs.
Bingo.
Done deal.
Let's go.
All right.
What do we do next week?
I don't know. And
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Vic won't be here, but Jeff will. So Will is in Atlantic Beach. Will, how much of this can you take?
Well, I first like to say I agree with you guys. The Jaguars have a really bright future, I think, with Coach Del Rio, the new head of personnel. You know, Gerard's a good quarterback. But the thing that really upsets me, I'm an engineer. I have the financial ability to buy tickets. But the reason I don't is because I'm tired of the city and the NFL saying they invested in us and therefore we owe it to them to buy tickets, when me as a tax-paying citizen of this city, I'm subsidizing the Jaguars left and right with paying for security, maintaining the thing, maintaining the stadium, not getting ad revenues on games outside of Jaguars when we own the stadium. All of these things are, in my opinion, for me to buy tickets. And then the second thing, when pushed for numbers, the city won't give numbers, the government won't, the Jaguars front office won't give numbers on how they're helping the economy, impacting the economy. Unemployment's 10%, 12% in Jacksonville. I just think that the taxpayers are getting a really raw deal, and I think that we're tired of it, and that's why a big part of the reason I think that ticket sales aren't doing as well as they are.
It's the first we've heard of it.
Okay. Is he done?
Yeah, I think he's done.
Okay. Thank you very much. That will be the last ticket call because that bored me out of my mind.
Done.
All right, I can't
Will, you
anymore.
Helped out a lot, buddy.
All right, let's talk about the other games.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back and make a clean sweep of all of this. In fact, we're hanging up all the lines.
Bye, everybody.
On everybody right now, because not because we don't like you. Joe, hang up so I can hang up. Joe's got the phone up, and I can't hang up on the guy. There you go. All right.
Why did you just hang up on Mike? Mike was angry with me because I said, screw the fans.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to help you out.
And now you hung up on him, and he's going to think I hung up.
Mike, it was me. I hung up. Here, I'm hanging up on these people, too.
I was just kidding.
We're not doing the ticketing thing because it can go to the nth extreme. If you love it, buy it. If you don't call and complain.
Sexton right? hung up on everybody.
And I'm hanging up on that person, too. Playoff talk is next. Welcome back, Jaguars, this week. Final segment, 11 minutes, give or take 20 seconds. Someone called and said they'd like to hear silence for a minute. So the peaceful sounds of, you know, brooks and
we made
birds.
I'll wrap up the ticket segment this week.
You didn't already?
Right. Tickets are for sale. Sellouts are good. Blackouts are bad.
Right.
You want to buy a ticket? Buy a ticket. If you don't, that's okay, too. You know, we'll see what happens.
MyTeamTeal.com.
You know, the mayor said it best. You know, last night he said, ticket sales are the measuring stick for viability.
Right.
That's all.
Leave it alone.
Not complaints.
Right.
He didn't say complaints are the measuring stick for viability. Ticket sales are how you distinguish yourself. Tickets are bought. The message is, this is a football town. Tickets aren't bought. The message is, this is a town that doesn't want football.
And there you go.
It's that simple.
MyTeamTeal.com. All right. Let's go on to this weekend's games. Ready? We'll go with the NFC first. Arizona at New Orleans. How good is New Orleans? And with the way that Kurt Warner is playing right now, do you expect another 50-49 kind of game?
Well, I just thought that Packers-Cardinals game was horrible. Just the worst defense I ever saw. Missed tackles everywhere. I mean, what good is all that offense if it's against two teams that don't know how to play defense? And Coach Del Rio was right. The two times I saw the Packers most recently, they gave up 503 yards to Ben Roethlisberger and 51 points
to Kurt Warner.
To Arizona. So I really believe that the Saints have a better defense than the Packers. That I have and they obviously have a very good offense. So I'm picking the Saints.
Score.
I think the Saints will play defense, and the Cardinals obviously don't.
Now, how about the other game, Dallas? I really haven't seen Dallas play a full game all year. I've seen Minnesota play a few. This has become the time of year where Brett Favre generally starts throwing interceptions.
Dallas looks so good right now. The Cowboys look so absolutely powerful. Marion Barber is headbutting people to the ground. I mean, he is just knocking people, you know, through the air, running hard like you would expect from Adrian Peterson.
Right.
Romo is playing the best football of his life. DeMarcus Ware and that defense is on fire.
Roy Williams and Miles Austin are really
difficult
to cover.
I can't imagine a worse out of the gate matchup than what the Vikings got. The Cowboys, a dome team playing in a dome, and coming off these two thumpings of the Eagles are on fire, and I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Vikings.
What's become of the Vikings? I mean, Peterson is not running like he did the first nine games of the season.
Figure it out. They turned their team over to Brett Favre. Their team
That's
belonged
fair.
To Adrian Peterson, you know, and then they brought in this egomaniac, and he's slowly, you know, commandeered it.
I've seen Peterson a couple of times, and he didn't look like the same guy he was earlier.
No. That's a completely changed team. It's now a finesse team.
Well, and the defense is obviously not as good as it was early on. We'll see what they
can
do.
If they beat Dallas, well, I'm all wrong, because the Dallas team that is going there this weekend is a powerhouse. This is a power football team.
You know, most people that you would ask if we were taking callers this evening would say that based on last weekend's Arizona-Green Bay game, and what they saw of New Orleans all year long, the game they're most anxious to see
is New Orleans and
is
Dallas.
New Orleans. No, New Orleans at Arizona. But what I'm telling
you,
this
I
weekend,
see what you mean. Okay,
but what I'm saying this weekend is in the NFC, the game to watch is Dallas versus Minnesota.
Oh, I completely agree. I completely agree.
Because Minnesota can be a powerful team, too.
I think the Dallas-Minnesota game is going to be possibly the feature attraction of the week.
No doubt.
And the matchups everybody wants in the conference title games are Dallas-New Orleans,
right.
A rematch of that real good ball game at the end of the season. And I
and
think
Dallas
people want Chargers-Colts.
You know, call me crazy. I think the Chargers are the best team in football. I think Phillip Rivers is playing as well as any quarterback in the game. They play an aggressive brand of defense. They're running the ball, maybe not as well as they have in years past. They run the ball well. They have those big receivers. They throw it well. Is there anybody that is as difficult to match up with as they are?
Well, you know, when they rush the passer, when they really get after the passer, they are a different team than the one we saw early in the year that was milquetoast on defense. The Chargers have had a split personality on defense this year. They have been like the girl with the curl. I mean, they have had games when they have been very, very bad and games when they have been very, very good. What are we going to get, you know, in the playoffs? That's the question here. I'm more interested in the Ravens-Colts game because there are some really good storylines here. Let's not forget that this is going to be the town that had its team stolen against the town that stole the team.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not forget that. Every time they play each other, against each other.
The people in Baltimore remember.
That's right. You've got that element there. And now the Colts have dominated this series recently. They won in Baltimore this year in the regular season.
17-15, though.
I know, very close. And they won in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Gee, the Ravens should have intercepted Manning in the year that the Colts won the Super Bowl. The Ravens had him.
2006.
They had him. And they should have intercepted five passes and dropped them all. I mean, a couple of them would have been returned for touchdowns, and they just kept dropping interceptions.
Well, based on what you saw of that Ravens defense against Tom Brady, it appears that they are picking the ball up. What did they have in the regular season? 32 takeaways? And what did they have? Four or five against the New England Patriots last week? I mean, they're on top of their game on the defensive side of the ball now.
The Ravens secondary has been shredded from time to time. They have been vulnerable. But they've got their pass rush so tuned up right now, as evidenced by the win over the Patriots, that if they can put that kind of pressure on Peyton Manning, they could win that game because they obviously have the running game.
I was just about to say,
dominate time of possession.
That's the kind of matchup that you love if you're going in to play the Colts. You've got a running game that should overpower that smallish front of the Colts and not allow Peyton Manning that much time. Now, 2 years ago, you know, I mean, the Jaguars lost a ball game to the Colts where they dominated all the stats except passing numbers and lost.
Now, the Chargers and Jets.
So it goes the other way, too.
You would think that that's a mismatch. You would just think that the Chargers would roll over the Jets. But, you know, why do I get this not so fast, my friend, feeling? I mean, is it because Revis is taking out the star pass catcher for every team? Who would he get, Vincent Jackson?
That'd be the guy I put him against.
Yeah. That's a tall receiver.
He's big.
Yeah.
And fast and strong.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people compare him to Andre Johnson.
But, you know, Rivers doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have that big arm. He tends to be a little more of a finesse passer.
And he drops it in.
And Revis is a guy who can really close on the ball.
But the thing about that Chargers offense that they have is they have a bunch of guys they can go to.
Gates?
Yeah, I mean, and Gates is just a hidden weapon. If you take Vincent Jackson away with Darrell Revis, who's going to cover Antonio Gates? I mean, not that Revis would ever get that matchup anyway, but it makes it more difficult to do a lot of different things. And the Nani guy, Legadu Nani, the guy from Boise mm-hmm. State, big guy, seems to make plays over the middle all day long. They have a lot of different ways that they can beat you.
I'm picking Colts, Chargers, Saints, and Cowboys. Personally, I think the Cowboys should be favored in the game. I really do. I don't see them as the underdog. But I would not be surprised if we had a couple of big upsets. This is a pretty good playoff field. The Ravens are a proud bunch, and I mean they'll whack you. And the Jets play defense and run the ball. I mean, these are the perfect kind of teams to be playing against teams that are explosive in the passing game.
You know, and maybe it's me. Maybe I just haven't paid enough attention. And maybe that fifth and sixth playoff spot always seem to come down to the last Sunday of the year. But you know, the Jets and the Ravens just barely got in. You know, I mean we're. Those two spots weren't locked up until the very end in week 17. And here they do. They go and they win games.
The Jets proved their worth.
Yeah. Well, sort of the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Ravens were kind of, they were up early and then down when they had Ed Reed on the sidelines. And yet they, you know, they've proven it. That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wouldn't, not with the way the Jaguars played. And they don't have as good a secondary as the Ravens do against Peyton Manning here.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, and they'd have a pass rush, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wouldn't it be it would be a great Super Bowl. Dallas against Indianapolis would be a great Super Bowl.
What do I know, though? I thought the Eagles might do something.
Wow, man.
What happened, Donovan McNabb in the postseason always seems
Andy
to make
Reed,
some plays.
Soft.
Screw him.
Screw him.
Yeah, that's your new one.
Screw the
Did you tape yourself on that? Can we use that as a...
No, you can't use that.
I think you need to make a montage open for this show. I think we need to punt the big voice, and I think it needs to be sort of a game day open with all sorts of anecdotes.
We'll see.
Well, that'll do it for the two-hour show. It's fun, man.
Thank you.
And you're out next week, and Loggy returns.
And you're here,
next
right?
week? I'm here next week.
I'm
absolutely.
Here.
Folks, and we invite you to come as well.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.